Hey, Michelle, I'm so excited to have you here today. And nutrition school students, you are in for such a treat today. Michelle Promoleko is joining us. And aside from being one of my closest friends in the world and just an overall absolutely incredible, amazing woman, she's so inspiring and just an incredible person. You are. And I'm so grateful and blessed to have her as a friend, but also a colleague for many years. And today, you are all going to be so lucky to receive, and you're going to be so happy when you receive the amazing tips from Michelle on the do's and don'ts of getting published. But before we even get started, I just want to give you a teeny bit of background on Michelle. In case you don't know her, you might know Michelle, but in case you don't, Michelle was the editor-in-chief of Women's Health Magazine for many years, where she led the magazine to receive the prestigious National Magazine Award for General Excellence. And among many other awards, she is also the editor-in-chief of Yahoo Health and the author of the book 20 Pounds Younger, and has done a million many other wonderful, incredible things in the health and wellness world, and is just, like I said, an incredible, empowering woman. And you are going to receive her amazing tips today on the do's and don'ts of getting published. And Michelle, I know our nutrition school students are, I mean, they're just so lucky to get this incredible knowledge exclusively for them.
Wow, Kara, thank you for such a gracious introduction. You can do all my introductions from here on out. You're hired.
Well, it's all true. It's all true. So you deserve it all. So anyway, yeah, let's get started. The do's and don'ts of getting published. I'm so excited. I want to hear all this too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you need no help from me, but I'm super excited to give the information. And it helps me too, because then nutritionists know how to pitch me, know how to pitch my colleagues. And so it's a symbiotic session we're having here. It's good for them. It's good for me too.
Yeah,
so exactly. Happy to do it.
All right. Awesome. So let's get started. Like you're absolute, I know you, we talked about doing some do's. You have some do's and some don'ts. So you tell me, let's start with the negative and then go positive. So what's your first don't?
We can go back and forth. We can mix it up. And it's all positive. It's just, you know, things that, you know, not the average person doesn't know about getting published. So it's not, you know, there are no dumb questions. I'm just going to try to clear up some of the confusion. So the first thing is, I think a lot of people who don't work in publishing think I should write the whole idea and submit that to an editor, but that's actually not true. And the reason it's not true is that every editor really wants to assign a story that is specific to their publication, or in our case, you know, a website, a digital magazine. And so the editor is going to want to give you specific instructions, going to talk to you about the tone of the brand and things like that. And so if you're just writing a piece without any of that feedback, chances are you're not going to get it right.
Yeah.
So first tip, don't submit the fully complete article. You want to engage an editor and talk about ideas.
Yeah, that's a really great tip. And even for book writing too. I mean, I know people have said that to me. They've said, well, what do you mean? You didn't write the book and then sell it? I said, no, I didn't know what I was going to do for every chapter or every single part of it. You just have the concept, but you have to know if someone wants it. So don't spend the energy in the idea and the concept, and then you write it after with the direction of the person who's going to publish it.
Exactly. And that's what an editor's for. An editor is your partner in getting this right. And so there's a give and take and a back and forth and stuff that needs to happen before you submit the whole piece.
Oh, I love that. Great tip.
Yeah. So the second thing I want to tell people is, again, pitch a story idea. But when you pitch a story idea, make sure that it's specific enough. You don't want to pitch a general topic. And I think that's where a lot of, you know, new people to publishing go wrong. They would pitch something like, you know, I want to talk about going gluten-free, but that's a huge topic. And so you want to pitch something that's a little bit more thin sliced, and you want to look at the publication or the site you're pitching and kind of see what's like the sensibility of what this place does. You know, how can I nail it the first time? So for us, it might be, you know, 5 ways going gluten-free can help your skin. I'm just making that up off the top of my head, but it's a more specific idea. It's more narrow. It's more special. So don't pitch like a huge topic. Pitch an idea.
Right. I love that. And that's, you know, again, just analogous to something I do with clients that would be similar to, you know, you can't say to a client, eat vegetables. That's sort of, it's, right. It's like it goes right over them. It doesn't do anything. Instead of eating vegetables, they're not even absorbing it. They're glancing it over. But if you say incorporate greens at lunch and dinner every day, you know, for that week or whatever, they might actually do it. So it's sort of the same type of thing, being really specific. I love that.
Exactly.
Great.
Yes.
Okay. All right, what's your next the other one? Thing, I'm like, what's your next one? These are so good for, by the way, our nutrition school students are going to, I know they're eating these up right now because good. I just think these are the types of things so many people in health and wellness really want to be getting their work out there.
Yeah.
And it's sort of, you know, I think people are like, well, how do I begin? What do I do? So this is really great.
Well, I'm glad I could help. So the next thing is, especially if you're pitching digital sites, you have to be timely.
Yeah.
So news hooks are great and they're happening all the time. And it's not just a study that's been released, although it could be that. It could be a celebrity, you know, something. Like, for instance, this past week, Tom Brady and Giselle's personal chef made a comment about how they eat 80% vegetables. And so we did a story, you know, could you eat like Tom and Giselle? And it was all about, you know, that sort of breakdown in your diet, on and on and on. So the point is, we used a celebrity hook, something that was going on in the zeitgeist, to craft a story. And that's always great because people are already talking about it. So it's kind of trending. And then you can get in on the conversation. And you can also give your own take. You can find a fresh new angle. It doesn't have to be a rehash of what people are already talking about.
Right.
But the point is, it's not an idea that could have run the week before or the week after. Yep. It's
like
that week or that day.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. And I think that's hard for people, though. And sometimes they think they come up with the idea and then they're, you know, they're trying to craft it and craft the picture, craft the story and waiting, and then all of a sudden the moment has passed. So how do people deal with that?
Right, and that's the thing, is that if you're going to go the timely route, which I highly recommend, you have to be prepared to turn that idea around really quickly.
Okay, that's a really good point. Yeah, you have to be like ready to do it and know that you have the time and the day to do it that day. Don't do it if you know you're about to leave for vacation and you can't sit and write it. Don't pitch it.
Exactly.
Because, right, okay.
Exactly.
So make sure that you can actually get the job done. Okay, that's
good. And there are some evergreen ideas that are great and that will always work. And I'm not saying that you can never pitch those. But I think timely ideas trump those, and timely ideas also show that you're really paying attention to what's going on in nutrition news.
Yep.
And when people are talking about these topics, and that you're paying specific attention to what that publication might want, instead of just saying, I'm going to pitch, you know, 5 anti-inflammatory foods, which, by the way, is a good topic.
Mm-hmm.
And that information needs to get out there. And there might be a time and place for it. But when you're starting to break in, I think you'll impress more with a specific idea and a timely one.
Okay. I love that. I love that. Great. Okay. All right. What's your next one?
Okay, so this one is a little less technical. It's more about you guys. It's about being a little bit of a specialist. And so, of course, you want to have a broad base of nutritional knowledge. You want to be able to talk on a variety of subjects. But if you're known as a little bit of a specialist, it gives you an edge, because that way, if we're, you know, doing a story in your area of expertise, we're going to naturally think of you because you've already carved out that niche a little bit. So, Carrie, I always think of you, among your many talents, as somebody who can talk about responsible weight loss very authoritatively. Obviously, you can talk about anything nutrition related, but that's kind of your niche, where you have really strong information and really strong expertise. And some of your books have been based on that. And it could be paleo. It could be, you know, vegan. It could be that you're a smoothie expert and you're known for that. But I think just carving out some kind of specialty is helpful.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point, because I think, and we've talked about this in other webinars and things I've done, but we've talked about the idea of, you know, sort of trying to be everything to everyone. And you really have to figure out, like, are you going broad? Do you have some specific? And if you are broad, like I would say with Nutritious Life, like, we reach a wide range of people, but with a specific philosophy. And I would say try to take it and try to take their nutrition up a notch. So we go broad, but still it's a specific philosophy that carries through and is consistent. Other people might take the route of going, you know, they're all paleo or they're vegan. And everybody they educate, it's on being vegan, right? And neither route is wrong, but you have to kind of know which way you're going. So like you said, when you go to me for something, it is still a broad topic, but it's still specific within a broad topic, I guess you could say.
Yeah,
but for other people, like you said, a smoothie expert or a juicing expert or anyway, I think that's really, really good
advice. Yeah, it's just, it's maybe even more of a concentration than even a specialty, just something that, and it obviously should be something that you're passionate about, something that you feel driven to do. You're not like, ooh, you know, you want to fill a void. You don't want to go into a space that's super saturated necessarily, unless you have something new to say.
Right.
But I think that's something that people wouldn't automatically think about, but that I find really helpful. And that way, if you're that person, that specialty, then I will go to you first when I have, say, an in-house idea that I need a source for.
Yeah, that's a great, I love, love, love that tip. This is actually, I don't know if you were going to bring this up at all, but I actually, you made me think of something. What about these new, you know, health and wellness writers out there, and they don't, you know, I know you obviously, and I've been doing this for so many years. I know a lot of different editors, but what if they don't have those contacts yet? How do they begin to get these contacts?
I think that's probably one of the hardest things, right? Making that first connection. So you can definitely try LinkedIn. And if an editor has their email there, then they're sort of open to being contacted. And again, contact them with like specific information, a specific idea, send them a note on LinkedIn telling them why you want to connect. Start following brands that you admire on social media. And then from there, kind of figure out which editor covers, you know, which topical area you're interested in. And then just reach out. And as long as you're not sending, you know, an email that's a novel or a note via, you know, LinkedIn, or friending everybody on LinkedIn all at once at one publication, you want to sort of target the people who are most appropriate. And you can always pick up the phone and try to call if there's an assistant in the department and ask them who the appropriate person is to pitch a specific topic or topical area.
Okay, amazing. And I like that point that you said about writing an email novel. Like don't write, you know, don't write a whole long thing. You know, send a little quick email, because I think that that's something that happens. I know when I get emails that are too long, you're like, well, I'm going to put that aside and read that later. Like,
exactly.
And even the organization of the emails. Right, and then later never comes.
No.
And even the organization of an email, like you want it to be easy, bullet points, easy to read. You can glance over, you know where the person wants to talk about. I think that's so important, because just the way you put out that information is going to obviously affect the way it's absorbed and whether or not it's going to be absorbed at all. So
The other thing I want to say is, in today's world, with social media being what it is, we're possibly going to find you. It's not just you coming to us. We're potentially going to find you if you're out there saying important things, creating a presence, you know, building strong platforms. Chances are, and you can tweet at us, or you can make us aware of things or tag us in things. And that's what's so awesome about social media, is that this is a two-way street.
Yeah,
this isn't just you guys coming to us. And so on that note, I want to say that it's important that all the social platforms that you have really represent your brand. And so if you have one Instagram feed, for instance, and you have some personal stuff on there, that's okay if there's a little bit of, you know, the kid stuff or the cat stuff or, you know, friend stuff, but you want it to mostly be about your brand and about what you do, if that's your only feed. I mean, you can have one personal feed that maybe is a private account, and then a public account that's more your professional one. That's a lot of going back and forth.
Right.
But so just make sure that your social platforms represent your profession, your professional philosophy, and not necessarily every ancillary thing that you like and all your hobbies and, you know, your personal life, because that's just distracting from the message that you're trying to send.
Right. And I think that's a really good point. And because editors can find you,
you
have to make sure what they're finding is representative of what you want to be putting out there.
Yeah. And also, you know, that there's nothing on there that might be polarizing or that could turn them off. I mean, you never know. You can't, you know, you can't please everybody and, you know, sort of know in advance what an editor's proclivity would be. But I just think staying neutral or staying on topic is really the best case scenario for the platforms that are about what you do.
Yeah. Great point. Great point. I love that. What about, there's something I wanted to ask you about. I know what it was. Because again, you made me think of this before. What if like you really want to write and like it's just not clicking? You don't feel like you're a writer, yeah. But you really want to write. Like what do you suggest?
This is like one of the ones that's so tough because not everybody is a natural born writer. Obviously, you know, it's a specific career for some of us. But then there are people who, with enough practice and enough reading and enough coaching, can become good writers or can become strong writers. And then there are people who that's not their affinity. They have other strengths. And if you know that you're that person, or you've been told that you're that person, then maybe it's not writing. Maybe it's going to be contributing as a source that we attribute information to. And that's super valuable because it's raising your visibility. It's raising, you know, your practice, your name, and it's lending authority to what you say. It doesn't mean you have to have the byline.
Right. That's a very, very good point. You could give expert quotes. You could even do recipe analysis. You could do, I mean, especially in workouts exactly. too, you could do videos. I mean, you can do, there's so many other things, recipes. There's a lot of different things that you could do. And that's right. The point. I mean, it's really knowing your strengths and weaknesses. Yeah,
exactly. And know your strengths and weaknesses and ask people who are close to you that you trust what they think your specific strengths and weaknesses are. And you just mentioned videos a few seconds ago. Some people might not be great writers, but they're great on camera. Right. You're both. So, you know, you've got it all going on. You've got the whole package. But some people don't, but they're great on camera. So they can start a YouTube channel or have a really robust Facebook that has tons of video content or, you know, go on TV or, you know, pitch their local station, something like that.
Yeah, that's great. Great point. Something else that you had brought that we've talked about before is disclosing if you have any conflict.
Right? Yes.
If any, you know, any conflict of interest, because I think that that is so important because I think sometimes, I mean, I know someone had a young RD or a new RD, I should say, had brought that up to me when she was doing something in the media and she had prepped the entire segment and had been working with the producers. And then the day before it was like, oh yeah, but I work with so-and-so. And they said, no, yep. We're talking about this specific brand and that brand is an advertiser and blah, 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 blah. Like right. You have to put, anyway, so how does that work?
I think that's less likely to happen with new nutritionists and more right. with established people who have these endorsements. I mean, right. It's unlikely that somebody who's, you know, just getting into the field is going to have those endorsements, yes. But it's still just a great reminder even to keep in mind when you're attaching yourself to brands, when those opportunities come your way, to ask yourself, is this going to augment my profession, my practice and what I have to say in a good way? Or is it going to limit my opportunities? Because it really does erode credibility for both you and the publication if you don't disclose a conflict of interest and then you're writing on that topic and you're not telling readers, you're not telling your editors, yeah. And you're just making it seem like, hey, I'm so behind this, but you're financially benefiting from it or benefiting from it in some way. So just always be on the up and up about that because you can really burn a bridge.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the example that I'd given, the person wasn't new to being an RD, actually, I should say. She was a young RD in media. So she wasn't a new RD. She was a longer time, I should say, new to media. That was the problem. That's why there was a specific conflict, but wanted to get into media so bad that did it. And then it ended up burning the bridge with the producer. Exactly. And I said, you have to say that at the beginning.
Yeah.
They're doing so, you have to make that, you know, aware. So anyway, I think what you're saying, there's a really very, very good point. Like, always be transparent. Always. For your readers, for your viewers, and for the relationships, obviously, with editors and producers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, really good. This is such good stuff, Michelle. I love hearing. And I mean, we talk about this stuff all the time, obviously, and we've worked together. Michelle, as I said, was the editor-in-chief of Women's Health, and that's actually where we originally met. So I was writing and working with Women's Health under your leadership for so long. So we've obviously talked about so many of these things, but I still learn something from you every time we talk about publishing.
Thank you.
I do, every time. So I know our students are learning so much from you. Do we have anything else
just to sum it up, it's like, be responsive. You know, if you pitch an idea, make sure you're checking back to see, you know, if the editor's gotten in touch with you. Don't get discouraged if you don't hear back right away. You know, editors are super busy. But be responsive, you know, set an email alert for certain people, you know, set an out of office if you're not going to be available, and just keep up on the news. And that way you can shoot an editor a note and say, hey, the new dietary guidelines just came out.
Yeah.
Here's what I think about them. Here's what's right about them. Here's what's wrong about them. Have an opinion, have an authoritative, informed opinion, and put it out there. And once you become a go-to trusted source for an editor, they will go back to you again and again.
Right, because ultimately you're helping them. They need to write that story that day. So they say, oh, great, I have the person to go to.
Instead of, we need you guys.
Right,
I mean, I always say, I'm not the expert. I'm the conduit to the experts. And that's what I do for a living. So, yeah. Need you guys.
Yeah, badly. I love that. I love that. Like, you're helping them out. So think about that. You're doing, like, you're helping them. And like you said, it works. It really, it works together. So that's great. I love that. I love that. These were such amazing tips. I love them all. I really do. And I think they're so incredibly helpful for, I think, writing and getting published for any health and wellness expert is such a big part of what so many of us want to do, because we want to get our message out there.
Absolutely. And you want to scale your business and you want to touch, help more people. And as I said, we're the conduit to doing that. So go for it.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much. Super, super inspiring. I know this.
Thanks, Carrie. Thanks for having me.
You are so welcome. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time. And hopefully maybe we'll see you back here again.
Absolutely. Love to anytime.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.